G'day, thanks for being here. This is Better Than Yesterday. Welcome to the show. I'm Oshie Ginsberg. Before we get into things, we do have to pay the people that make the show with us here. So we're about to play some ads. And on the other side of that, you and me, we're going to have a chat about exercise. Yeah, we are.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss. There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
G'day, welcome to Better Than Yesterday, making it better every week since 2013. I'm Oshie Ginsberg. Thanks for being a part of the show. I am a podcaster. I'm an author. I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I'm a stepdad. I'm a e-bike rider through the streets of Melbourne. I'm a two-time Melbourne International Comedy Festival performer. We wrapped last night, host of a fake news show, real news show. In Melbourne, which has been a huge amount of fun. And I'm glad you're here. Thank you so much for being here. Thanks to everyone that came to the shows. Oh my goodness, thank you so much. It was so nice to meet people from the podcast world, the people who came and said they listened to the podcast, and people who, you know, wanted to get around it, and people come and say hey after the show. And it was lovely to meet people. It was just really, really nice. It's just been too long since I've been face-to-face with everybody, and it's freaking good. It's so good. Thanks for the lovely feedback about that Robert Irwin episode. Keeps going, you know. It's brilliant. But I've got to say, man, on Wednesday, having Angie McMahon in on the show was really, really cool. I really feel for her because there was a bit in the interview where we spoke about Splendor in the Grass, which at the time we recorded was still happening, and now it's not. And yeah, there was a great sadness in my heart that Splendor in the Grass couldn't go ahead. I know that times change, and I know that cultural tastes change, and I know that people over time get into different things. However, the multi-stage, multi-genre festival seems to be a very difficult thing to get up. And a part of me was very sad that Splendor couldn't go ahead. Culturally, for me, it's a really interesting thing. There was something about going to a multi-stage, multi-genre festival like a Big Day Out or a Splendor in the Grass, for example, that it was a similar age cohort. So from when I first started going, I think my first festival, I was not yet 19. So a similar age cohort. And yet so many different bands, so many different genres, so many different styles, so many different people from so many different socioeconomic backgrounds and cultural backgrounds, all coming into the same place at the same time. And Ken West, who's passed away now, was one of the promoters of the Big Day Out. Viv Lees was the other one. And Ken used to always say, I'm not trying to put a festival together to get the most interesting amount of bands on a stage. I'm trying to put a festival together to get the most interesting amount of people in the same place at the same time. And so what Ken would do is he would use the bands as the lure to mix the different people together. And it was in those experiences of being in those crowds of people who are around my age but look different, talk different, sounded different from different parts of the city, the country, into different kind of music, but we were all sharing this experience together, and it gave me a great sense of belonging and my place in a greater community. Now, that's not to say that if you go to a dance festival or a metal festival or whatever, that you won't get that, but you might not get quite the diversity of people and thought and socioeconomic backgrounds all in the same place. And I'm sure that our eldest, Georgia, who's 20 at the time of this recording, when she goes to festivals, she has a great old time. But part of me kind of wonders, like, I wonder how it would feel for her to talk to her like a metal kid who she otherwise might write off because it's the kind of music her stepdad's into, but then realize, oh, he's also, oh, it's the same guy I saw yesterday at that, dance tent that I was in, and now he's wearing a metal shirt and I can see him off to go and see some thrash thing. Oh, okay, that's interesting. But yeah, that isn't what I came to talk about today. But yeah, I'm a bit sad that Splendor's not happening this year because culturally, it's a very difficult thing that's kind of falling over. And if young people can't afford to go, because that's essentially what it is, then what does that say about our ability to have these cultural events to be cohesive and be together and be all in one place at one time, different kinds of people enjoying the same thing? I think it's really vital that we have those things. It's great when they're sport, that's cool, but it's super important that they are musical and cultural as well. Particularly fucking rough when there was a story we did in the news this week, I'm still not talking about the thing I came to talk to, when there's a thing that we did in the news show this week that one half of Australian artists earn less than $6,000 a year, which is one quarter of the minimum wage. It was a survey done by the Media, Entertainment and Arts Alliance, which is the union for musicians and performers. And, with streaming services paying cents on the dollar and the live scene falling apart, who is going to sing our songs? Who is going to sing the songs of our people? That is so, so profoundly important. When you look back 40 years ago, right? 30 years ago, there are Australian artists singing songs of the Australian experience at that time in history, whether they be a Powderfinger or a Silverchair or further back, Midnight Oil or the Angels or the Divinals, even Hilltop Hoods. They are singing songs or rapping songs that are the experience of the Australian people, and they are, marking that experience, that cultural experience in time. And there's a song that people who were there at that time can sing together and know, this represents me and represents my experience of the world as a 21, 22-year-old person in this country doing this thing. Because if we don't have that, what are we left with? We're going to try and shoehorn a singer who might sing in English but is from another cultural background completely. We're going to try and shoehorn that into a time in our own history and just try to make it fit. I don't know, man. I don't think that's going to work. Whether it was cold chisels, flame trees, or the radiators, you give me head. 1983 had a song for you that represented what Australia was about. And they were big songs. They were huge hits. Even, yeah, the Radiators, as naughty as it was a massive hit. So which Australian's going to sing the song of our people? It's so important. It's absolutely vital. Already in drama, we struggle because it's really expensive to make drama in Australia. We struggle to tell our stories in, a modern context. We're often telling stuff in period pieces because we can use sets and studios and costumes and keep everyone in one spot. But to try to tell a story in a modern context that isn't in a forest in Tasmania, real hard, because you're talking locations, you're talking, interiors, exteriors. Like, it's hard. It's real hard. It's real expensive. It's cheaper to buy NCIS or whatever. It's really hard. But we have to tell our own stories. We have to sing our own songs. Otherwise, what are we? We are a weird echo of the UK or the US, New Zealand. We are this strange kind of rhyming cultural. If you're like a poem written by a person who's first learned, how to make an AB rhyming scheme or an A to C rhyming scheme, and they kind of fuck it up. There's one too many syllables. It's like, it kind of rhymes. Yeah, I kind of get it. Like a miscalculated haiku. That's kind of how it feels. Like, yeah, there's a young person going through some shit, but they're doing it in Birmingham. They're speaking English. Yeah, they've got a boyfriend or a girlfriend that I get on with. It's not really quite what we get here, is it? It's not. And it's so important that we see our own stories and see ourselves reflected in the culture that we consume. Unfortunately, as David Lee Roth would put it, the treat that we're doing the trick for is no longer as tempting. He's the ex-singer of Van Halen, and he has this line that, when the record industry was actually selling a physical unit, like an LP or even a CD, there was a huge amount of money to be made. So people dedicated themselves, creative people dedicated themselves to getting really, really good at making music, playing instruments, producing music, writing songs, performing. And if they did it really, really well, yeah, it was lottery odds to win the lottery, to win that. But if you did, you're making $20 million, right? So people dedicated themselves to that. Creative people went, that is on offer. I'm going to work really hard to try to get that. But now, if you're a musician and you're half of Australia's musicians earning $6,000 a year, cents off of your streamings, barely anything from live gigs that you've got to drive yourself to on the other side of the country, and you're a really creative person, you might figure out, how to code or, use that creativity in some other place because musical creativity is the precursor to many other kinds of things. This is fact. It's proven by science. But you can't sing along to a spreadsheet or an algorithm. You're not going to hear a chord change and go, oh, that was the year I finished school. That's the song I lost my virginity to. That's the song that was playing when my kid was born. It sounds like Bernard Fanning. These days turned out nothing. Like, where's that,
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I was really hoping I was going to talk about exercise. So here it is. This is the thing. So Andrew McMahon, it was so great. If you've not listened to the episode, it's last Wednesday, and it was super duper good. We connected about a whole bunch of things, and I really loved that she was asking me about my onstage cues that I use to center myself when I'm working. And in that episode, I talked about the purple nail polish, which was a really, really cool one. There's another couple of things that I do around breathing. So you hear me in the episode, I talk about inside the 10 count. That's essentially my floor manager. Okay, we're back in 10, 9, 8, and it's just like Wayne's World. They stop counting at 3. And so I breathe in at about 9 and I hold it till about 4. Breathe out real slow. And then at 1, I've got about 2 seconds before they cut to me because they're doing audience stuff, and that's when I breathe in and then I speak. And so by the time we're back, 13 seconds tops, I've reset my parasympathetic nervous system and I've, you know, initiated the calm reflex on television with nobody any the wiser. But now you know what you're looking for. You'll see it. If you watch the last time I was on Q&A, you'll see me do this as well. You'll see me take some physiological size, pretty obviously. You can see my chest rising and me looking like I'm trying to blow out a candle sitting on the other side of Stan Grant. Like that. Exercise. That's right. Exercise. I promised I would talk about exercise. The thing that Angie spoke of that absolutely blew my mind, and I cannot stop thinking about it, and I've been talking about it with heaps of guests ever since, is the idea that she said exercise was the thing that people who wanted to be skinny were doing. I did not want to be skinny, so I didn't do exercise. Now, I absolutely relate to that in such an enormous way. And the incentive to exercise, in my experience, was always about, you know, I want to be better at sport. I didn't care. I didn't want to get bigger or stronger or faster. Also, the only exercise that I knew was the PE class level of exercise, which was if you were unfit, they would be like, all right, burpees, everybody. And if I hadn't done a burpee, I'm going from a zero VO2 max capacity. I hurt and was in pain within about 87 seconds of PE. I fucking hated it. So I did not like exercise at all when I was in school. I loved charging around when I was a kid playing soccer and stuff. I loved the feeling of like running through the rain or riding my bike really hard, my BMX bike that is, riding through the rain. I loved that feeling. I loved exerting my body in the goal of something that I was interested in, but PE, I fucking hated it. It was an angry man with a beard and a whistle calling me fat, which they were allowed to do. It was 1988. But what Angie was talking about is so, so, so important. And if you combine the two of them, you kind of come to this point that I really related to, in that if you're thinking about exercise only as something that people who want to take photos of themselves in the mirror on Instagram do, then that is not exercise. That can be a result of exercise, but the true joy that I get out of exercise is not the aesthetic result. I get one. And sometimes I exercise, particularly if I've got a job coming up or I'm, you know, trying to maintain a certain size and shape for a set of suits that have been tailored within an inch of their life over a certain amount of time. I will exercise to maintain that aesthetic if I need to, but it's not my primary objective of training. I exercise because when I exercise, my brain works better. I can shift mood states far, far easier. I can go from being pissed off or sad to okay again really, really a lot quicker than if I have not. I sleep way better. I just feel better. I move better. I express myself physically with my hands, with my face a lot better because I have more vitality. And that simply comes from exercise. Now, exercise is not, it can be 100 burpees if you want, but exercise can be sitting down in a chair and standing up twice if you've never done it before. Because you've just done a squat, well done. You do it 3 times the next day. You do it 4 times a day after that. Exercise, and I know this from my own personal experience, can be walking out the front door at 5 minutes, turning around and walking back. 10-minute walk. That is 10 more minutes than I walked the day before. The next day, walk out the front door, walk 6 minutes, turn around, come back. Like that amount, if you're deconditioned, if you haven't trained for a long time or if you've never exercised like that, just that amount of exertion will cause an adaptation response in your body. You will get hormone release. You will get muscle adaptation. Your body will feel different. Every time you do it, you'll feel a little more capable because your body will go, oh, if we're doing this, I'm going to need to, you know, tweak a few knobs here and we're going to have to need a bit more muscle and maybe a bit less of this and, you know, a bit more of that, because our bodies are amazing things. And the gradual application of that very subtle amount of stress to your body, by stress I'm meaning just pushing, not pushing yourself to the point where you're breathless, you're wanting to vomit 2 minutes into a PE class, but just to the point where you can feel your body going, oh yeah, we're working here. That's all you need to do. Just get to that. Thing is though, because your body adapts pretty well, if you decondition, that feeling will get further and further away, further and further away every time. Or if you're lifting things, the amount that you can lift will get remarkably quickly, will get heavier and heavier every time. And that sets off this kind of wonderful dopamine and oxytocin kind of loop where you feel this enormous reward and sense of satisfaction because your body's moving and your body's designed to move. Your body's designed to move. If you've seen Dune, either version, if you've read the book, if you're not aware of Dune, okay, Frank Herbert, science fiction book, he was a journalist who was covering a road crew in Northern California that were trying to work around some sand dunes that due to deforestation were overtaking a highway. And he was like, holy shit. And he saw the, you know, the effect of taking plants away from the ecosystem and what, you know, the lack of water was doing for the place, and that the sand didn't give a shit that your highway was there. And so he wrote Dune off the back of that. It's an amazing book. But in that book, they wear a thing called a still suit, and the still suit recycles sweat and urine, you know, gross, but, you know, desert planet. It recycles sweat and urine and allows them to, and from their exhalations as well, it captures the moisture from their exhalation, and it allows them to drink the water again as a purification system. And it's a science fiction book. You can write a sentence and it does. But it works when they walk, all right? So only by walking does their water purification system work. So in many ways, your body, you're already wearing a still suit. By moving your body, you are purifying and creating all of the hormones and all of the good feeling neurotransmitters that you need to make your body adapt, to make you shift mood states, to make you sleep better, to make you feel more engaged, to make you concentrate better. They never tell you that in PE. Well, they certainly didn't tell it to me. Like, blowing a whistle and saying, get off the fucking floor, Ginsburg, you fat bastard. Like I said, it was 1988. And that's what I loved hearing from Angie. It was just the best hearing her talk about that. Blew my mind. And I think a lot about exercise. I know I talked about this the other day. I just wanted to talk about it again because it was freaking cool. Hey, thanks so much for listening. Thanks to everybody that helped me produce this episode today. There's a couple of people swung in through a window on a rope made of bed sheets with a dagger between their teeth to help us get this out the door today. Big thanks to Abby Benno, who probably by the time you've heard this has had a child. I don't know what kind of child. I'm assuming human, but hopefully news is all good. Ben and Monica for keeping the lights on OGTV, Andy Marr on audio posts, Mikey Ward on video posts, Toe Hider on the music, and Conrad and Matt, who helped us out with audio production. Thanks, guys. I'll see you Wednesday. if you need anything, the link in the show notes has the mailing list and other episodes that might tickle your fancy if you like this one. Thanks for being a part of it. You want to get in touch with me, drop us a DM. Have a good week.